at 217-333-9455 or 800-222-9455. I'll give you those numbers again. 217-333-9455, 800-222-9455. Those last set of numbers spell W-I-L-L. You've been busy all week as it's been Farm Safety and Health Week, National Farm Safety and Health Week, and you probably served a few meals somewhere, I would suspect. Is that right?
Yes, I think probably over 1,000 meals and maybe as many as 1,200 or 1,300 now. We started our Meals in the Field initiative about 7 or 8 years ago, and it's grown, and we do it in 23 locations. So each one of our branch offices is at least at one farm each day. And we started this because we had customers and friends who had had accidents on the farm. We know that agriculture is one of the more hazardous occupations. And what we want to do is let our customers know how much we care about them during harvest and get them to take a break. It's been shown that if you take a break, get out of the combine, and take that half-hour lunch, that it really improves safety. So that's our goal for the event for this week.
Yeah, half-hour lunch, and then according to Bob Aharon, who is the farm safety specialist, you really need to take 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the afternoon. And actually more than that, every couple, 2.5 hours, get out of the tractor or the combine and take a break. And it really, really helps out in terms of keeping the producer alert and the farm workers alert and avoiding those accidents. And being well-fed helps the process too, although you could be well fed and want to take a nap in the afternoon. And I usually tell producers, and I'll start next week, farmers are just really getting rolling, and I'll start telling them to pull over and take a nap during my show in the afternoon. mostly because they could listen to it after the fact if they want to on willag.org. But it's important in terms of the farm safety and health of the community. And speaking of the health of the community, tell me about the financial health of the community. There's been a lot of discussion on the programs that we host here on all these stations, the ag programs, about the health of the elevators, the health of the farm. Where do we stand these days in terms of financial health?
Well, it's a little bit interesting on this side because agriculture has really been the shining star of the economy for the past 2 years or so at least. And, you know, our farmers have had good crops, good prices. The income levels have been up. Land values have stabilized or risen. And at Farm Credit Services and around the Midwest, there's plenty of capital credit available for the farmers. And we're a cooperative, so we're not managed by stockholders. We're managed by our customers. And that seems to make a difference in these times. So we've kind of stood out as a success story in the economy here lately.
Yeah, for those who remember, you're really a conglomerate of the old Production Credit Association, or PCA, which made production loans for the year, and the Federal Land Bank, which made land loans for farmers, right?
Yes, we were started in 1916, so we have a long history.
You have a very long history. Let's talk about land. What are you hearing on prices?
Well, it was my opinion that the land market had kind of leveled off maybe in the last 6 months, but the last few auctions we've had here in central Illinois on top class ground were between $8,000 and $9,000 an acre. So if that's going to continue, then that trend is up again from what we've seen. You know, in the past 24 months, we were probably in that $5 to $5,500 range. We jumped up to $6,500 or $7,000, And so we'll see what the next few sales bring. There were only 3 or 4 sales here lately, but they've been very strong.
That amazes me that they've been that strong. I guess we've been in financial turmoil for a while, but any of those come in the midst of some of this financial turmoil, or were they really ahead of that?
Well, the financial turmoil is so new that I think these decisions were probably made ahead of that. But, you know, I don't know what this situation that we're in now is going to lead us to. We're just going to have to wait and see because it's so volatile.
Well, let's turn our attention to the production side, because there's some real issues that producers will have to deal with. One of them is that fertilizer costs are really high. They're going to have fairly large production loans, I assume, to get that fertilizer bought. And they're having to buy it a whole lot earlier than they used to.
Yeah, it seems like the borrowing trends have changed in the past few years as the prepaids are wanted now in August and September for the next year's inputs a lot to get the discounts and to lock in prices. So what our borrowers and our customers and the farmers around the state are charged with is trying to balance that input cost with locking in a grain price that for next year's crop that's going to allow them to cover these higher input costs. There's no doubt that input costs have gone up considerably here in the last 18 months.
Does that pose challenges for the Farm Credit Service?
Well, it does in the way we work with our customers, because the timing of the money, the funds that are needed, is different than it used to be. It might have been March, April, May before. Now it's coming the year prior. So, you know, there's capital outlay from the farmers aspect that is earlier than it used to be in the season.
But what problems does it create? I mean, what kinds of things, other than the producer has capital outlay and I suppose interest that he's not accruing himself and that he's paying, so he's got more interest over time, I would think. But what other kinds of problems does it create?
Really, the challenge is matching that next year's crop up with the commodity prices and being able to market or lock in a price on next year's grain. The risk that the farmers run today is the high input cost today and not knowing what that crop might be worth at the end of next fall when it's harvested. And there's options for them on puts and calls and such, and that all runs into money. So they've got a much bigger job today on the marketing end than they did with input costs at this level.
And it's all about the risk management. The risk management are the puts and the calls and those sorts of options and hedges and all kinds of things that we talk about on the air a lot here. But that burden keeps being shifted to the small businessman, I suppose, or the farmer at this point, because the elevator sometimes isn't willing to price things out that far ahead. Certainly, and I guess that's really where the bigger problem is that as a service agency, you'd like to have them get everything sort of settled and locked in, but it's not. They have to borrow earlier and sell later, and there's a lot of time in between those two things that happen.
Yes, and that volatility that the farmer has to put up with during that period of time when inputs are locked in versus when they can actually market and sell their grain seems to be a lot larger than it was in the past years with the swings in the commodity prices and the input costs. It's just really putting more of a challenge on our farmers, and it is shifting. You know, it's shifting that responsibility to the farmer that used to be taken up by different stages along the marketing line.
Well, does it make it easier for you to make loans to larger farmers, smaller farmers, better capitalized farmers? And I mean, I suppose by capitalized, I guess by assets in terms of those who own more land. What difference does it make?
There's really no difference in size. The difference, I think, becomes in working capital positions, what we call it. That's always the liquidity position that a farmer has. And today, with the swings that we see in commodity prices, that working capital position is king, and I think it will be for some time now.
Mel, define working capital for me in this case.
It's really your cash position. It's the ability to prepay the debts that you've got coming due in the next year. So it's the cash and grain on hand and prepaid expenses that you have compared to the operating loans and the principal payments on term debt within a year. So it's a liquidity position that would be on the top of a balance sheet. And it's what allows you to survive some of those swings if it takes a negative direction on you and still keep your operation moving forward.
How do farmers have difficulty creating that liquidity position sometimes?
It hasn't been a problem. And matter of fact, that's why most of the farmers have been very successful over the past few years, because the margins have been there and they've been able to build that working capital position. And I think it's continuing yet today. The question is, with the higher input costs now that are going into it, it's going to start to put a squeeze on margins, and it'll be more difficult for them to maintain that working capital position going into the future.
Well, when we come back, maybe we can take that up and talk more about the liquidity position, the squeeze on margins, and all those sorts of things. We're talking with Aaron Johnson this afternoon. He's the Senior Vice President of Field Operations. We'll be back with him in just a couple minutes. And if you'd like to join that conversation, get on the line now at 217-333-9455 or 800-222-9455. Both of those spelled W-I-L-L at the end. You're listening to the Harvest Hour edition of the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm your host, Todd Gleason. We'll be right back.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, designers of the M2 on Neal mixed-use project in downtown Champaign, on the web at ratioarchitects.com.
Let's take a look at the weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana and the two-state region across Illinois and Indiana. Ed Kieser says this afternoon it'll be southern Indiana, partly to mostly sunny. Elsewhere sunny, highs will range from 77 in northern and eastern Indiana to 85 in southern Illinois. Tonight, Ed says, in east central and southern Indiana, mostly cloudy skies. Elsewhere, mostly clear, lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, in the northwestern part of Illinois, becoming partly sunny in southern and eastern Indiana, mix of clouds and some sunshine. Elsewhere sunny, highs will range from 78 in northeastern Indiana to 86 in the southern part of Illinois. The extended forecast is a cold front expected to pass through the two-state area Monday afternoon and evening. A few pop-up showers, mostly afternoon showers, will be possible on Wednesday as the cold air aloft will make the atmosphere become a whole lot more unstable. Temps will turn significantly cooler for a few days with below-average readings expected Tuesday night through Thursday of next week. Highs Wednesday, the coldest day, will only be in the upper 50s and the 60s. Lows on Wednesday through Friday mornings will mostly be in the 40s. A few mid-up 30s and upper 30s and patchy light frost will be possible in the normally colder spots in the north on Thursday and Friday morning. But a killing freeze not expected in Illinois and Indiana.
Today's programming is made possible by Silver Creek in downtown Urbana, serving lunch and dinner every day with a brunch on Sunday. For 17 years, Silver Creek has been bringing to the table freshly baked artisan breads, prime steaks and chops, fresh fish and pasta dishes, and delightful pastries made by Silver Creek's Swiss pastry chef.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is the Harvest Hour edition. Aaron Johnson, who's a Senior Vice President of Field Operations for Farm Credit Services of Illinois, is with us this afternoon. When we left you a bit earlier, Aaron, we were talking about liquidity and risk management. Does Farm Credit Services offer any opportunities for producers to learn about risk management or to use risk management in any way?
One of the things that we focused on about 4 or 5 years ago was specializing our crop insurance individuals who work with the farmers one-on-one. And we found that that's really offering a service to our customers that's hard to find in too many other places. We've got some of the most knowledgeable crop insurance specialists in the state for them to work with. And crop insurance is so detailed and so specifically based towards your individual operation anymore that you really need to work with someone who knows all the ins and outs of all the different policies. So one of the biggest tools in the market today is the crop insurance and how you use it to market your grain.
Are there things that producers need to be doing this fall in terms of crop insurance and maybe the federal crop insurance programs?
Yes, because there are actually changes in the Farm Bill with the crop insurance program for 2009. So you can start working with your crop insurance specialist as early into the fall as you want, because you're going to have a lot of learning process between now and March before that buying decision's made.
Well, let's talk about some of the other programs that you have. I know this week you've been feeding farmers in the field, and apparently in Logan County.
In Logan County, fed
one of my brothers today, is that right?
I got a phone call about 1:30. I understand one of your brothers was there today.
Well, I only have four that farm over there, so I don't know which one it was, but I'll bet they weren't in the field because I talked to them last night, so it must have been worth
it. I think they started today. The report I got was that they were in the field.
Oh, well, somebody got itchy over there, apparently. Yeah. They were ready to go. Tim said the corn was testing 24. He didn't think that they would go, but maybe they decided to do soybeans somewhere, so we'll find out. I'll give them a call over the weekend and find out what's happening then with them. That was this week, but there are other things that you're doing the rest of the fall.
Yeah, the rest of the fall, we partner with the Illinois pork producers, and we call it the Fall Harvest Tour. And we actually serve sack lunches with a pork burger and a soda and a candy bar to the people as they're delivering the grain to the grain elevators. And they come through and they can tell us and the pork producers how many meals they need for the people that are working on the farm that day. And it's just something else that we can do while they're harvesting to stay out of the way and still be of service. And those will be scattered around the 60 counties. I think there are about 60 of them planned and calendared with the pork producers. And I know the association in the northern half of Illinois is also involved in that. So you can look forward to seeing us at some of those events this fall.
How many meals do you expect to serve?
You know, at those events, I've been to a number of them myself, and they'll be between 75 and 350 each time.
Each time. That's a lot of pork burgers all the time. And, how long will you do it for?
I think we'll probably go until the end of harvest and maybe a week or two after. So I know they're scheduling it, and this year it's a little different because harvest is so late. So I would imagine they'll run at least through the middle of November this year.
Have you had discussions, speaking of harvest being late, about what that means to health and safety of producers, and if there's other things that Farm Credit Service can do to get the word out about taking some time, making sure they get meals, making sure they get rest? What kinds of things will you be doing other than these fall meals and the things that you've had in the system for a while?
Really, what we do in the fall is just try to be there when they need something for us. Otherwise, it's not a good time for us to be making a lot of contacts because they're so busy. So if we can stop by every once in a while, see how they're doing, see if there are any questions that we can answer for them, possibly leave a soda or a candy bar on the road while they're, you know, in the combine, just to get them to take that break and get refreshed, because the hours are so long at this time of year that we just take every opportunity that we can to get them to take that break.
And in the last couple of minutes, maybe we should go back to those production loans, because fertilizer costs are so high, and there's a lot of risk in the financial system at this point. What are the things, and producers, you know, while they're really busy, tend to have actually a lot of time to think while they're on the combine or at on the end of the field waiting in the tractor or tractor, if they happen to be there, or at their office space at night, to think about how to manage that risk? What are the things that they need to put in their minds?
I think just the handling your financials as you used to and has always been proven, in that if you can keep your equity position and your working capital position strong, that allows you to have the risk management that you need. Should commodity prices turn a little bit lower, or should input costs continue to rise? Because anytime it's been good like it has been, and we know the profits have been there and commodity prices have risen, now the margins are going to shrink because input costs are going up, land costs have gone up. So at some point in here, that trend will turn down. And anytime that trend turns down, we know there's, you know, 12 to 18 months of pretty painful experience at the end, because that's when the cash flows turn negative. So if you can build yourself up in these good times to be able to handle that that difficulty when it comes, when that market might turn against us, be it ethanol or whatever happens to the commodity markets, that's probably the best thing you can do today, risk management wise, is just try and keep yourself in that kind of financial position.
Is there a balance sheet, I guess, between grain on hand?